Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. But I'm coaching my son's t-ball team this year. Like, quite literally, my son has begun t-ball, and many of you know that baseball is a huge part of my background in my life. And so we're excited. Baseball is finally, you know, back in the family. I get to do this thing, but I'm coaching t-ball. And I'm not sure Peter had in mind when he said, be holy. Or maybe he did. Because if you really want to test your sanctification, volunteer to coach t-ball. All right? And we'll see how good a Christian that you really are. And I digress from that. Welcome back to the final week of our series titled Holiness as Wholeness. We began this a few weeks back, Holiness as Wholeness. And Brian Charette kicked us off a few weeks back, and we looked at that text that I just read from 1 Peter, that call to no longer conform to those desires when we lived in ignorance, but just as the one who called us is holy, we too are called to be holy in all that we do. And we looked at the Church of the Nazarene as a denomination and how we're rooted in this holiness tradition that began with John Wesley and the Wesleyanist and holiness movement that was in the early 19th century, and how it was birthed out of that, and what holiness means for our lives. How it brings wholeness to our lives, how it's possible in our lives. And then last week, Pastor Chris led us into this idea of basically the war of sin, the power of sin in our lives, and the power of God to entirely sanctify us and purify us and cleanse our hearts. Not just forgive us of our sins, but put us back in right relationship to give us a new heart full of holy love. James Pedler says, God's mission, why a series on holiness, right? Why a series like this? He says, God's mission is not only for those outside the church, but for believers as well. Oftentimes when we hear the mission, our minds immediately go to out there, right? Out there, but oftentimes God's mission is trying to be accomplished right here, inside of you. And so God's mission is not just outside there for believers as well. He says, who are currently experiencing the ongoing healing work of God in their lives. In other words, mission is not only outreach, but also includes the corporate life of the church. Cultivating holiness, spurring one another on in our response to God's ongoing work in our lives, teaching, catechizing, discipling, all of these things which help to form people as disciples are part of the church's mission. You see, we looked at it at the very beginning, and we're coming to a close this week, but the Wesleyan movement centered around the scriptural truth concerning the doctrine and experience of holiness, which declares that the atonement in Christ provides not only for the regeneration of sinners, being made new into a new creation because of the finished work of Jesus, but also for the entire sanctification of believers, being completely set apart for God's work, for God himself. Being filled with the holy love of God. And so for John Wesley, we aren't simply justified by faith, in Christ to gain our place in heaven someday, but to reclaim healing and wholeness for our hearts and minds, and yes, to some degree, even our bodies. And when we say that holiness brings wholeness, yes, even to our bodies, we're not saying that if you embrace holiness that you're gonna wake up tomorrow with that six-pack that you're looking for. Right? Or that luscious hair you've always longed for, or that complexion that you weren't born with, but you've really desired. That's not what we're saying. What does the word say about those kinds of things? The word says, don't lose heart. Outwardly, we're wasting away, Yes, that's all of us. But inwardly, if you're in Christ, you're being renewed day by day. And so I have a few questions to get us started this morning. The first is this. Do any of you here today or listening online have something deep within your soul that says there has to be more to life than this? Or maybe you're asking yourself this. Maybe you're on the verge today. Maybe you're on the verge of throwing in the towel on this whole holiness idea. Or maybe you showed up and you're on the verge of throwing in the towel on the whole idea of Christianity itself. But you showed up again hoping to find the way to overcome and experience this life that you hear about week after week. Or maybe if some of us were gut level honest, maybe would some of us say we're just sick and tired of being sick and tired? I have good news for you today. So lean in and hear the word of the Lord. Holiness is the remedy for what deeply ails you and I. We don't do this all the time, but I'm gonna ask you to stand for the reading of the word today. We're gonna be in John chapter 10. Would you just stand for a moment? We're gonna read two verses. It's gonna be on the screen behind me. We have an event set up every week in the YouVersion Bible app with some notes if you wanna follow along there. But we're gonna stand and read John 10. I encourage you to read this chapter in full, maybe later today. But we're gonna start in verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus speaking. And he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the word of the Lord for us today. You can be seated. Have it to the full. Let me read the message paraphrase of this. Jesus says, I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Now let me read the King James Version. I'm sorry, this is the New King James. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in out and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I believe that each one of us gathered here today longs for this life abundant. And so today, God, would you give us ears to hear and a heart to respond to your word and to your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean then if Jesus comes with this offer? If Jesus comes with this offer to you and I today, April 28th, 2024, chaos in our world, in our culture, and he says, listen, I've come that you may have life more abundantly. What does that mean? Does it mean good health? Does it mean all the wealth that we could imagine? Does it mean happiness? Is he talking about pleasure or power or possessions or to maintain a certain relationship status? What does Jesus mean when he says, I came to give you life more abundantly? You see, our culture equates the good life, right? It equates the good life with those things that we just listed. But that's not necessarily the case with our Creator. You see this word abundant here in John 10, and I got a screen here because I want you to see this as I read it. This word abundant here in the Greek is parizon. And what this means, look at the meaning of this. It means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more superfluous, a quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate. That sounds good, doesn't it? That kind of, sign me up for that kind of life. But if we were to have a show of hands, how many of us would raise our hand and say that we are experiencing life to the full that Jesus offers? That's how we would describe the life that we are experiencing in Christ Jesus. I think of it this way. You know, you go to your favorite ice cream shop, right? And we love ice cream in my house. And so you go to their favorite ice cream shop. That's a given when you have kiddos in the house, right? But dad really likes ice cream too. And so you go to your favorite ice cream shop, and you're going to get two scoops, right? And they hand you your cone with your two scoops. But when they hand that thing to you, that sucker looks like it's loaded with four scoops, right? Because this person didn't do the single, you know, the scrape scoop. They loaded that thing up. You know, it's like really like five scoops to make one scoop. And you get that thing, and it's like free ice cream, right? It's more than you could have anticipated, and your mouth's watering. It's that kind of life, right? That's what I picture when Jesus says this. You get handed this, and you're like, this is better than anything I could have imagined. Because it's six scoops when it should have been two. In short, Jesus promises a life far better than you and I could dream of. He comes that people may have life in him that is meaningful and purposeful and joyful and eternal. And you see, we receive this abundant life begins the moment we accept him as our Savior, but it doesn't stop there. The abundant, the life to the full, is first and foremost the result of being made into a new creation, the experience of new life, of salvation through Christ Jesus. So what Jesus is saying is that he alone is the only way to this truly abundant life. However, before we dive deep into that idea and what this has to do with holiness as wholeness, right? The message today is life to the full. That's what this holiness brings as it brings wholeness into our life. It gives us this kind of life. We have to consider there's another entity, there's another creature at work, another person at work in our lives. And Jesus mentions this person in the same verse that he mentions that he comes to offer you and I abundant and overflowing, more than you can imagine, life. In John 10, Jesus refers to him as the thief. And so I want to address him just for a moment. The thief, the purpose of the thief is to steal and to kill and to destroy. He comes for purely selfish motives. In order to gain his own desires, he would even kill the sheep. That's you and I. Maybe you know him by another name. The scriptures give him many names. Satan, the devil, the liar, the murderer, the accuser, the deceiver. He's your enemy and mine, and he is set on one thing, your total and utter misery and destruction. But let me clear one thing up. One of the greatest deceptions that the enemy has deployed on mankind in our day and throughout history is to convince them that he doesn't really exist. That's nonsense. He does exist, and above all else, he is a liar. So what's his strategy, right? If you're going into a fight, if you're going into a ball game, you got to know the strategy. You got to know the game plan. You watch the film. If you're going to war, and his strategy is the same for each of us. It's just nuanced in a different way, right? Because we're all wired a little different. What's his strategy? The enemy, the thief, the deceiver uses deceitful ideas. He's the father of lies. He's the master of the non-existent half-truth. He uses deceitful ideas to appeal to our disordered desires, to appeal to the disordered desires of our flesh. Our flesh is longing for happiness in this moment. The enemy, the thief, he uses deceitful ideas to appeal to disordered desires, and these are desires that have been normalized by a sinful society. This is the enemy's strategy. Deceitful ideas appealing to our disordered desires that have been normalized in a sinful society. The thief is greedy and gains dishonestly. A thief takes and does not give. A thief is prideful and selfish. A thief lies. The thief, the enemy of your soul and mine, will overpromise and underdeliver. He'll make something look good only to use it against us in the future. He's a counterfeit and a copycat. He'll take something God has done and twist it and distort it so it no longer fulfills its created purpose. But Jesus, right? Nevertheless, Jesus has come. Jesus, the giver of life, opens the door to salvation. Jesus speaks, guides, and directs us. Jesus provides and cares for us. Jesus gives us abundant life. In contrast to the thief, Jesus preserves our lives and provides for us. Jesus doesn't want you merely to possess eternal life, but to possess the full experience of life now, more than you would anticipate or imagine. You see, following the shepherd here in John 10, following the shepherd leads to blessing and joy and a growing experience of eternal life now, in the life you're living now. Even while you're working that midnight job, even while you're trying to raise young kids, even in your retirement, even in your loneliness, even in your singleness, he wants to open up that now and offer it to you even there. One commentary said, following the way of the shepherd allows him to rebuke and reverse the enemy's attempts at blocking the blessings and purpose and spiritual fulfillment God has for your life. You see, Jesus did not come to the human heart for any selfish reason. Jesus comes to you and I to give, not to get. And the more we turn ourselves over, the more we surrender, the more we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, the more we enjoy the life which has been given to us. But I know, because I've been there, because I've sat there, some of you are thinking, but listen, this call to holiness just seems like too much. Can God really expect that from me? I don't think it is possible in my life. Oswald Chambers, pastor, theologian, he said, we must never measure our spiritual capacity on the basis of our education or our intellect. Our capacity in spiritual things is measured on the basis of the promises of God. If we get less than what God wants us to have, we'll falsely accuse him, as the servant in his words falsely accused his master when he said, you expect more of me than you gave me the power to do. You demand too much of me, and I cannot stand true to you here where you have placed me. He continues, he says, when it's a question of God's almighty spirit, never say I can't. Never allow the limitation of your own natural ability to enter into the matter. If we have received the Holy Spirit, God expects the work of the Holy Spirit to be exhibited in us. So have you received the gift of his Holy Spirit, the power in your life today? And listen, maybe some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, I know, I hear what you're saying, and I've been trying this following Jesus thing, this thing that you're talking about week after week. I've been trying it for a while now, but nothing's changing in my life. Then perhaps in love, let me challenge you today. If you've been trying to follow Jesus, if you believe you've been following Jesus and nothing's changing in your life, then perhaps you actually haven't been following Jesus. Maybe you've been trying to find the abundant life in your way and just trying to sprinkle Jesus in. And listen, friends, some of you are perhaps living a life that's incongruent to the abundant life that Jesus offers. This life to the full that he promises, and you feel restless. You would, if you were honest, you feel restless in the depths of your soul this morning. Thanks for showing up. And perhaps you may be deceived by the enemy, by the thief in some area of your life. Maybe you've bought the lie that the enemy has sold or the world has sold you. And listen, that's going to be a journey. That's going to be a journey as those things are brought into the light by the Holy Spirit. And you're called to reject them and submit yourself completely to Jesus. Because as we just said, the more we abandon ourselves to him, the more of this abundant life we experience. That's what this idea of holiness as wholeness is. And it's a journey. It's a journey with Jesus as he reveals those things and you turn away from them and fix your eyes on him. But then there's another group maybe today. Maybe you're here, maybe you're listening. Some of you are already aware. The Holy Spirit's been working in your life by God's grace. And you're already aware of things in your life today. Yet you're continuing to try to strive for this life to the fullest. Very well aware that there are things that do not please God and God cannot bless in your life. And I want to address this because it matters. Because you matter to God. You're searching and you're striving for this life to the fullest, and holiness seems out of reach. And perhaps it's not because God's not making the power available to you, but you're just refusing to yield something, someone, some habit, some part of you to God completely. Maybe it's fornication. Maybe, listen, this doesn't just apply to teenagers. It's living like you're married, but you aren't. Maybe you're living for selfish motives. Maybe it's the habit of lying. Maybe if you were honest, you're really materialistic. Maybe you're gripped by the power of lust in your life. Maybe you've bought into culturally progressive ideology. Maybe you're guilty of idolatry and you're not even aware of it. But you have an extreme admiration, a love for another person, whether famous or not. Extreme admiration for your phone, right? That extra appendage that we've all grown. Or maybe it's for sports or food or money or for the country. Maybe you're struggling with this desire for control, and it brings constant anxiety and fear that cripples your life. Maybe it's the love of pleasure. Maybe for some of you, you've just not truly yielded yourself completely to God, that he might make you holy by his power and his grace, that you might truly experience the abundant life that he offers to you and I today. Listen, the reality is this, friends. The reality is this, that God wants to bless you. He wants to give you life to the fullest, the abundant, overflowing life. The six scoops when you should have got two. That kind of life. Not just in the future when you die one day, right? And you enter into eternity, which is coming at any moment for us, just to note. He wants that abundant life to start now. And we're not talking about possessions and health and wealth and momentary happiness. That's not what I'm talking about. Some of those things may come. Some of those things may be part of your life as you obediently submit and follow the way of the Lord. But the abundant life is the freedom and the joy and the peace and the power of the Holy Spirit present in your life now. In the midst of all that you're going through. Changing you into the likeness of Jesus, the truly human one. As Pastor Chris said last week, he said, Jesus shows us the best picture of what it means to be truly human. You say, well, that's just not possible for me, that kind of life. I'm a human. And the Word of God says, Jesus is the best picture of what it looks like to be truly human. It's like this, we're called to become more of who we were created to be. Holiness is the remedy for what your soul deeply desires and deeply needs. And don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? Change, the evidence that God is working this out in your life. Change, transformation, as we say it often in the church. Change is not the absence of temptation in your life, okay? It's holiness in the midst of temptation. It's staying truly devoted to God in the midst of those things that tempt your flesh. You see, the enemy, the thief, is always looking for an advantage in your life and mine, in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace. Look, he did it with Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus has been tempted. Literally, God in the flesh has been tempted by the enemy, and he's resisted him. He's stayed holy and true to God the Father. And it says this in Luke 4, verse 13, when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. But you see, the good news is this. If we know the enemy's strategies and we resist him and we devote ourselves completely to God, then you and I can experience the freedom and abundant life available by God's grace in and through Jesus today. Sin and the abundant life are enemies of each other. But the bottom line is this. The way of Christ is the abundant life. The way of Christ is the abundant life. If you put it in the reverse, the abundant life that is offered is found in the way of Christ Jesus. His theology, his ethics, his lifestyle, that is where abundant life is found. Life to the fullest that we're talking about today is the life of Christ ruling and reigning in your life and mine. C.S. Lewis, author of Mere Christianity, said it this way. He said, give up yourself and you'll find real life. Lose your life and you'll save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself and you'll find in the long run only hatred and loneliness and despair and rage and ruin and decay. But he says, look for Christ and you will find him, and with him, everything else thrown in. You see, holiness as wholeness, life to the full, it's a moment and then it's a lifetime of moments. Because in a moment, when we yield ourselves to God, he can purify our hearts. What does that mean? Does that mean you're not going to be tempted to sin, that you're not going to sin again? No, that's not what we're saying. But he can purify that sin nature that lives within our hearts. Because you see, the problem is, it's not just that we sin, it's that we want to sin. It's not just that we do evil, we have a desire to do evil. And God says, through sanctification, through the purifying work of my spirit, I can give you a desire not to do evil, but to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor. And so it's a moment and then a lifetime of moments. It's a purifying of our heart and then a lifetime of maturing in the character of Jesus. All right, so I don't want you to miss this as we wrap up this series, that somehow you think it's this moment and then after that, everything's peachy. Or that somehow you gotta work out and you gotta earn your sanctification. You gotta earn this holiness. No, that's a gift of God's grace as you yield yourself to him. My story, I was raised in church, and I'm gonna be brief. I was raised in church, a good Christian kid in my teenage years, started straddling the fence, right? Living for the world. I still wanted the blessings of Jesus. I wanted that 6 scoops of ice cream, but I was settling for so much less. And so I lived that way into my 20s, and finally Jesus brought me to this place, and I had to basically cry out to him and say, Jesus, I'm gonna wreck my life if you don't save me. And he did. But there were still things in my life that weren't yielded to him, because I had this same thing that some of you might be thinking even today. God, you really can't expect that from me, right? I'll try my best, but that is impossible for me to really live into what you're saying. But then there came this moment in 2017, and God brought me to the end of myself, and it was a hard season in my life, and I was part of this church here, but God brought me to the place where I had to yield myself completely to him. And I belonged to him. I was serving him, but he said, no, I want all of you. I want all of you. If you want your life to be whole, you're going to have to give me all of you, Billy. And so it came to this moment, and I would love to say that since that moment that happened, I can remember the moment. It was in my townhouse, in the bathroom, back against the wall, sitting in the floor, and it was a hard time, and I yielded myself completely to God. It sounded something like this, and this isn't about me, but I want you to know that I'm living this with you. Okay? And it sounded something like, God, I don't care about my name, I don't care about my glory. You can have my marriage. You can have my family. And I had one kid at the time. And you can have all my plans. I just want to be faithful. And God did it. He did something in me that only he could do. But you know what happened in that year to follow? It wasn't just like this happened and then everything just started. The blossoms had started flowering on the trees, right? No, there were seasons of fasting. Because you know what fasting does? It starves our flesh and it feeds the Holy Spirit. There was a season of mentorship and discipleship where somebody had to pour in to me and hold me accountable. There was counseling, like real professional Christian counseling that I had to go to. And ever since that day, there's been fighting the world and the flesh and the devil with all that is in me. Because the reality is this, and I want you to see it. Once God sets you free, once he offers and opens the doorway to abundant life, you have to decide to live free. Once he says, I have saved you from your sins, I have broken open the way for abundant life, you have to decide to live into that reality. It's there. The way to abundant life is there. It's not hidden, but we're often content with trading it for a fickle, momentary, emotional fulfillment. So we ask, what's the difference between the American dream and the abundant life promised by Jesus? In America, the mantra says, be true to yourself, i.e., live by your desires with no filter. But Jesus says, walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, and you'll experience the abundant life that I've promised to you. So where do we go wrong and why? I believe we go wrong because we tend to hear the deceitful ideas that it isn't really possible or it's only possible by our own efforts, and then we fail and we're ashamed, and then we just get into this endless cycle of guilt and shame and failure. And we're sold the lie by the devil and our culture that there is a world out there. The world is your buffet. Enjoy it to the fullest. And I think Jesus would say to that, there are some things to enjoy out there in the world, but there is a system of ideas that are hell-bent on death. And Jesus would say, fight it with all that is in you. Author and pastor Mark Sayers would say it this way. He says there's two stories, and bear with me, we're drawn to close. Two stories competing for our minds and hearts. The first story is broadcast loudly across pop culture and social media and all media. It claims that you and I are the center of the universe. We're unique individuals and we can be awesome. And listen, some of you are awesome. You're just not as awesome as you think you are, right? The same goes for me. My wife reminds me of that often. He says, we just need to create our identities by making the right choices with our wardrobe and our weekends, and by hanging out with the right people and doing the right things, we can be limitlessly happy. The world offers you and me an amazing life. We just have to go out there and make it happen. The second story is quiet. It's more of a whisper from the back burner in our brains, but it will not go away. It's there in the quiet, in the middle of the night. It's the longing when the promises of the first story under-deliver. The whisper tells us we were made for more. In hushed voices, it insists that we have an immovable and important identity, a sort of real home somewhere out there. We're longing for it, and we know it's not just in our imaginations. There's got to be more to this life, and it nags. He says we continually suppress the second story, though, largely because the first story is so loud. Everything from Instagram to movies to clothing ads to political campaigns declares that we can be whoever we want to be. Pursuing the second story takes time and intentionality and going against every cultural grain. As Jeanette and Pam come and we prepare to respond, I believe that this is why many, maybe some of you, have that constant distress, that voice that says, this life of holiness is out of reach of my best efforts. And I agree, it indeed is. But it is not outside the power of the one who took your place in mine so we can truly have life. And you know what the good news is today? He stands ready to save you and sanctify you and empower you to live free from all that would keep you from this abundant life. So again, are you sick and tired of that nagging feeling of being sick and tired? Are you ready to experience life more abundantly than you could imagine? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And you know what the reality is? And many of you already know this because you're much more mature than I am. The person who is greatest, most blessed, most joyful is the one whose life is most closely associated with the pattern of Jesus. It has nothing to do with earthly success and power and prestige. Really, the only true greatness in this life, the only true joyfulness and blessedness is how close can one's life come to being like that of the Master, Jesus Christ? Because you see, he is the right way. He is the complete truth, and he is the abundant life. Some of y'all are going through hard things, but your life reflects more abundance than those who seem to have everything going their way. This abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10 is the ultimate description of a life marked by the wholeness that holiness can bring to your life. And our life revolves around growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. It teaches us that abundant life is a continual process of learning and practicing and maturing, as well as failing and recovering and adjusting and enduring and overcoming. You see, life to the full, abundant life, doesn't just mean we have our ticket punched to heaven, but that we have wholeness while on this earth, true power and joy and peace, no matter what our circumstances bring. And you know what? Grace, God's grace imparts to us the gift of his Holy Spirit. And that is the power. He is the power that saves and sanctifies our heart and enables us to be holy in all that we do. And as you've heard me say it time and time again, God will give you the grace to do what he's called you to do. The question is, will you have the courage and faith to ask him to do that for you today? Would you stand with me as we prepare to pray and respond to God's word? We're gonna sing a song, but I sense that there are some today that need to pray, some that need to respond, that need to ask Jesus to do something for them, to do this for them. And so there's gonna be a prayer team, there's gonna be a couple of us on this side and a couple over here as we sing this song. If that's you today, would you have the courage and faith to come, to receive prayer, to receive anointing? What is it that you need Jesus to do for you today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you extend to each one of us the offer of abundant life, more than we could anticipate or imagine. Oh, how good that sounds. I pray today, God, that you would give us faith to ask you to do exactly what we need you to do for us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.